My comments on cancel culture in a moment, but first, there is no doubt that the crisis on our southern border is the direct result of Joe Biden's invitation to immigrants over several months of his presidential campaign. Again and again, Biden and the Democrats held out the promise to immigrants that the border would be open for them when they got there. They took him at his word and began marching toward the promised land. Young, unaccompanied children are stacking up like cordwood at the border. These children, as young as 3 years old, did not come across the border on their own. They were brought within sight of our border by cartels who are getting rich off of Biden's naive executive orders. These children are being placed into cargo containers, and the same pens that Democrats accused the Trump administration of using. The truth is, these so-called pens were built during the administration of Barack Hussein Obama and his lackey Vice President Joe Biden. Democrats and their media allies crucified Donald Trump for the same practices they had begun themselves. Ask yourself why the dishonest media is not hounding Biden about the treatment of these illegal immigrant children, or even legal children, as they did with Trump. Meanwhile, Democrats, led by an increasingly radical Nancy Pelosi, passed two bills that would hasten citizenship for the so-called Dreamers, those immigrant children who were brought here years ago and left on our doorstep. History keeps repeating itself. These immigrants are allowed to build up at the border and inside our country until Democrats convince us that they should be made citizens. After all, they say, they've been here for a decade or more. Well, whose fault is that? We cannot take in all of the world's poor without becoming poor ourselves. We've all heard of cancel culture, but most don't understand exactly what's meant by it. I'll explain it in a moment. But first, my comments on the circus that Meghan Markle unleashed through Oprah. The interview between Oprah Winfrey, Prince Harry, and his wife Meghan Markle was calculated and full of holes. Meghan Markle is an actress and a master manipulator. She lied and alienated herself from her father and her sister, and then aimed her powers at Prince Harry. Markle was happy to marry into the British royal family until she found out that she would not be the focus of attention. At that point, she began to turn Harry against his own family, as she had turned on hers. Markle claimed that all she wanted was freedom from the rigid royal life, and that she wanted out of the limelight. Why then take millions of dollars from CBS to sit down with Oprah and trash her in-laws? If she was honest, she would never have taken money to air her dirty linen. In the end, she trotted out the race card. According to her, some member of the royal family supposedly spoke to Harry, wondering how dark the new baby's skin might be. In hindsight, that would be certainly an insensitive remark. But unless that person went further than that and bemoaned the fact that the baby would have a dark complexion at all, the remark was not racist. Moreover, to go on national television and float something like that out there makes every member of the royal family suspect, and that is blatantly unfair. After the interview, Harry hastened back to Oprah to say that the Queen and Prince Philip were not among the suspects. Okay, was it Prince Charles? Prince William? Obviously, both of them didn't say it, so that person should have been one cleared after the Queen and Philip. All of us have someone in our family line that is insensitive and even snarky with their remarks. How'd you like to be a considered racist because Harry and Meghan didn't clear you of it? I said from the beginning of their marriage that Meghan Markle's past revealed a sinister, calculating individual who must be the prime topic of any discussion. She used the race card in the interview to make herself a victim. Apparently, Prince Harry enjoys being led around by his nose by his wife. The interview accomplished nothing, except in Rich, Meghan, and Harry. If I was a member of the royal family, I would let this die down, and then have absolutely nothing to do or say to Harry and Meghan. They could have gone to the Queen quietly and voiced any concerns they had. But they chose to throw the entire royal family under the bus for a few pieces of silver. I share credit for today's commentary with MSN and Chappie Chief Honor for their research, which I'll include with my own. We no longer have the freedom to disagree with each other in this mad rush of cancel culture. Democrats have embarked on a journey to silence all who disagree with them. It is not enough to disagree. Those whose opinions we don't agree with have to be destroyed, totally, and in the process, destroy their families and businesses, too. The term cancel culture is a relatively straightforward one. A purchase is canceled if it isn't needed anymore. Merriam-Webster says an advertising campaign is canceled if it is inappropriate or is unsuccessful. A television show is canceled if it manages only abysmal ratings. For the longest time, the meaning of the term cancel hasn't been very complex. But sometime in the last decade, it acquired a new definition, particularly in context of internet lingo. Today, everything and everyone can be canceled if the internet collectively decides it needs to be so. The term collectively is important because the canceling of something is really a result of a mass movement, collective in form and force. The writer J.K. Rowling was canceled because of her transphobic views. Cardi B and Nicki Minaj were canceled because they made homophobic comments. Trump was canceled because Democrats and their media hounds said he was a racist. Kanye West was canceled for saying slavery was a choice and for supporting Trump. But it isn't only public figures who get canceled today by forces that be in the realms of the online space. Very simply, canceling means to stop giving support and credence to something or someone, including organizations and establishments, and so anyone in public consciousness can be subjected to canceling, including you and me. A case in point is the MyPillow guy. He dared support the re-election of Donald Trump, and so the left is trying to cancel his business, to put him into bankruptcy, and cost all of his employees, more than 1,500 people, their jobs. Thankfully, the public did not follow the Democrat playbook, and Mike Lindell's company sales actually picked up. These leftists will not stop trying to destroy the man simply because they don't agree with him. Cancel culture is relatively new. It only surfaced in the last 5 to 6 years and has been largely a product of internet culture. One of the reasons why the term's exact meaning is still being ascertained is perhaps because it is relatively new and its scope is still evolving with developing online behavior. The most visible examples of cancel culture occur when a celebrity or public figure says or writes something or engages in an act that is deemed offensive and inappropriate to a certain segment of the public. It works like this. When a large number of people on social media platforms collectively object to any action by a public figure, it leads to calls to cancel the person. This canceling occurs by pressuring the individual's workplace to fire them, pressuring brands to drop their association with the offending individual. The Coca-Cola company recently stuck its foot in its mouth when they told their employees that they had to act less white. What an ignorant statement to make. Since that time, I choose not to buy Coke products, but I do not try to pressure others into boycotting Coke. Canceling Coke would require a mass audience boycotting them. So, when did cancel culture arrive? The specific date is debatable, but some observers believe that its arrival coincided with the Me Too movement. That first started with women opening up about being subjected to violence and abuse, using public platforms to share their experiences. One of the characteristics of cancer culture is also the tendency to pile on, where social media users engage in mass behavior by specifically targeting the individual who's being publicly called out. In a speech at Mount Rushmore, then-President Donald Trump called out cancel culture, perhaps because he himself had been the target so often, especially since he had first announced his presidential campaign. Trump said, quote, "It is the very definition of totalitarianism and completely alien to our culture and our values, with absolutely no place in the United States of America," unquote. Following Trump's speech, the White House press secretary doubled down on Trump's stance, saying President Trump stands against cancel culture, which seeks to erase our history. Simply put, cancel culture is a phenomenon that has ruined the lives and reputations of people around the country. Essentially, the radical left mob has made the public so terrified of their hatred that all it takes for a couple of people, just one in some cases, to begin a public shaming campaign. Usually the only way to assuage the raging leftist mob is to resign or fire employees, change products, and then issue a public apology for whatever the left deemed is inappropriate. Many times the offenses for which people are canceled are ridiculous. For example, an art professor at Skidmore College very briefly attended a pro-police rally out of civic interest and curiosity. Despite the rally being advertised as a positive, all-inclusive event, it was enough for the students at Skidmore to demand his termination after 31 years of teaching. Students took to social media and said, "We demand the immediate dismissal of both Skidmore staff members for engaging in hateful conduct that threatens black Skidmore students." All of that just for attending a pro-police rally. At the University of Southern California, a professor was placed on leave because in the course of the teaching of a communications course about how different languages use filler words, he spoke the Chinese word for the word "that," which some thought sounded like the N-word. It wasn't the N-word at all. They just thought it might be. The editorial page editor of the New York Times resigned following backlash for daring to print an op-ed written by Senator Tom Cotton about the use of federal troops to quash the violent riots during last summer. The New York Times editorial page editor and owner defended it in public statements, but then totally surrendered to a woke child mob from their own newsroom that apparently gets triggered if they are presented with any opinion contrary to their own, as opposed to telling the woke children in their newsroom, "This is a workplace, not a social justice seminar on campus." Last year, the woke masses tried to cancel comedian Jimmy Fallon for a Saturday Night Live skit in which he wore blackface during a role as Chris Rock some 20 years ago. Recently, two law college professors faced canceling because they had the audacity to speak truth. They pointed out that the black students in their classes were the least prepared of all others. That should have spurred the left to examine why the black students are at the bottom of the totem pole and help them to rise up. Instead, the professors faced the cancel culture mob because they had spoken truth to it. Likewise, comedian Jimmy Kimmel came under fire after it was discovered that he had imitated Snoop Dogg's voice for a track in a 1996 Christmas album. The outcry had led Kimmel to take some time off. It apparently does not matter to these woke mobs that people can change and grow over the course of decades. I'm no fan of Jimmy Kimmel, but fair is fair. The iconic 1939 film, Gone with the Wind, was pulled from HBO Max. A spokesman said that the movie would return with a discussion of its historical context. We need to know how people felt in 1939 to appreciate how far this country has come in race relations. Superstar Chris Pratt was hit by the cancel culture mob because he apparently radiates homophobic white Christian supremacist energy. That's because Pratt was a Trump supporter and a devout Christian. Lana Del Rey came under fire because some thought her songs did not sufficiently empower women. In response, Del Rey named several other popular artists whose songs were similar to hers, to which the mob responded that she was also a racist because most of the artists she mentioned were black. Katy Perry, a successful Hollywood elite from a conservative Christian background, tweeted a recommendation that people reach out to their families to reconcile after the election because she believes in family first. Apparently, it's too white of her to mend fences with family after a time of turmoil, and the mob decided to cancel her. Trying to keep your family intact in troubling times, is too white. What do they want to do? Cancel 75 million people who did not vote the way they wanted them to vote? This is not a television show that you can just whine about on Twitter until it's canceled. These people live among us. They are here to stay. Target first announced that their bathrooms would be shared by men and women, old coots and little girls. And then they bowed to cancel culture. A woman who did not appreciate that Target was selling a book about a subject with which she disagreed, acted up. And that was literally it. It did not matter that the book was based on facts and research. It didn't matter that professionals across the globe agree with the premise of the book. This lady thought it was harmful, so it was immediately pulled from the shelves and Target issued an apology. What if every single person in the world brought everything they personally think is hurtful to the attention of Target? Would there be anything left on the shelves of their store? Does it bother anyone that woke activists and spineless corporations now determine what Americans are allowed to read? America is the land of the free, and one of those freedoms, a vital freedom, is the freedom of speech. Not everyone will agree with you, and not everyone has to. That's what makes the freedom of this nation so amazing. Diversity of thought is both permitted and encouraged. At least, it used to be. There are many reasons why I am not a fan of cancel culture. The most obvious is maybe because it solves nothing. How can the world become a better place when we all become vigilantes? The people who were part of the lynch mobs in the past were not thinking that they were going to regret their actions when they were doing what they did. It's a rage feeding a sick want that at the moment felt good to do, but it is still wrong no matter how many participants are jumping in. Giving in to this type of reasoning, which might as well be signing a letter of agreement to go back to the days of the McCarthy hearings, is asinine. Think about those poor people in France during the Reign of Terror. hysteria, who lost their lives. Cancel culture is seeking out perceived wrongs to get away with doing worse things with a sense of righteousness for yourself. The truth seems to be that it's too easy for abusive people to cloak their nature under the guise of cancel culture. Cancel culture, then, is just really normalizing hostility and violence for whatever reason the people doing the canceling feel like. When people take to acting on emotions alone, which is at the heart of cancel culture, we are allowing to depart from human rights. As with almost every case of cancel culture, it starts with a rumor that gains traction once it sticks. Often these, usually unfounded, accusations are very dangerous and are often far removed from any truth whatsoever. People can be hurt by them or even die. And for what? In the few cases that actually have some merit, there is still no excuse to become worse than whatever the cancelers think they need to stop. Cancel culture forgets that due process exists and that they are not God. It seems the real problem with cancel culture is that many do not take into account that rage is a device, like a device, like any other drug. It is a feeling that is so strong, a person can justify anything and feel like they're doing the right under its effect. The cancelers are often trying to force a narrative that they want to be real, whether it is real or not. That's when the false sense of righteousness from rage has taken over ethics or reason and has become toxic. The person being canceled is being judged by outsiders who are not in full knowledge of the situation that they have such a strong opinion on. This demand and entitlement to know about a person being canceled mentally causes the aggressors in cancel culture to act abusively, and that the victim in cancel culture is entitled to their privacy. This does not mean that the people being canceled are hiding something. It simply means that strangers have no right to pry into the life of a person that they are outright harassing. Cancelers seem to be appointing themselves as volunteer KGB or SS agents. Only instead of pulling a person out of their homes in the middle of the night, they are using tactics of mob mentality to shun whoever they find to not be able to tolerate the existence. Again, people who partake of cancel culture forget that they are not an actual authority figure, but more of an attacker. This may be why cancel culture is so alluring to the uninformed and the powerless, because a canceler has some amount of power as an antagonist that they do not have otherwise. Just because someone thinks that it is okay to cancel someone else doesn't make them right, but rather a socially accepted bully. Anger is a drug, and cancel culture is an injection of that drug. It was entirely expected that the worst year in my lifetime should have been the worst election of my lifetime. Not because the second-best president in my lifetime after Ronald Reagan lost, but because we will probably never know for sure that he did lose. I'd rather be certain that the ghost of Joe Biden won outright than to see the greatest nation on earth embarrass itself like Venezuela. Sadly, the unprecedented goalpost shifting and manipulation by the left, bolstered by the usual obsequious accommodation by the right, has created a national humiliation that will fester for a long time to come. Let's start with the most astonishing example of media suicide in my lifetime, that of Fox News Corporation, or FNC. Trump broke every other news entity even before he took office in 2017. CNN, MSNBC, The Washington Post, New York Times, and the rest have always been left-wing, only with the illusory veneer of neutrality. Trump smashed that veneer, accurately calling them fake news, amid their swirl of lies about him. Russian campaign collusion, the neo-Nazis' fine people hoax, the impeachment unworthy phone call to Ukraine, the so-called botched handling of COVID-19, and more. The visionary Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch built Fox News as a singular center-right alternative to the mainstream vortex, an oasis for discouraged conservatives. The creation paid off when Fox won higher ratings and greater profit than its cable news rivals combined. All they had to do last year was to stay on top and be fairly covering the election. Unlike their competition, they couldn't imagine that. It had been predicted that all entities that are not explicitly right-wing would become left-wing over time, and Fox proved the rule. Like a million loyal viewers, I watched Fox install disgraced Democrat hack Donna Brazile and their new liberal commentator to back up the insufferable Juan Williams. We watched them boost the China virus doomsday panic and watched fake objective anchor Chris Wallace transform into a rabid, trunk-sniping chipmunk. We watched normally staid anchor Melissa Francis block Newt Gingrich from linking George Soros to riot-supportive blue state attorneys general. We watched business anchor Neil Cavuto cut off a White House press conference because he disapproved of Kayleigh McEnany's address. We watched Fox call Arizona for Biden on election night before anyone else did, with the final count still days away. The biggest difference between the 2016 election and 2020 was Fox News. I've been in this business a long time, more than 58 years. At times, while I began as a disc jockey, I was a newsman. I was a news reporter. I was a news editor. I was a news director. And I can honestly say that over the years, I never knew whether the people who owned the stations I worked at was a Republican or a Democrat. We didn't deal in that. We were not allowed to express our opinions. We left our opinions at the door. That's no longer the case. We have a dishonest mainstream media, and it embraces things like the cancel culture. It's disheartening to see the vocation that I chose and worked at for so many years go the way that it has, but it has. I thank you for listening today. I'll be back again next week, God willing, and God bless America.